Seven Marines are dead in a midair in California. An Air Force U-28A is down in Africa. And Israel grounds turboprop airliners for an unusual reason. This is Arrow News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Arrowcast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, February 24th, 2012. An AH-1W Cobra and a UH-1Y Huey utility helicopter collided Wednesday night during a training exercise over the California desert. Seven Marines suffered fatal injuries. Six were stationed at Camp Pendleton, and one was stationed at Marine Corps Air Station in Yuma, Arizona, according to the Associated Press. The accident occurred about 8 p.m. Pacific time. The aircraft were operating in a remote section of the Yuma Training Range Complex located in California. An official news release from Miramar Air Base in San Diego indicates that the names of those service members fatally injured are being withheld pending notification of relatives and that an investigation is underway. Lieutenant Maureen Dooley told the Associated Press details are still being gathered on the accident. The Cobra carries a crew of two. There were five aboard the Huey. The weather was pretty mild, according to Corporal Stephen Posey, who's also attached to Miramar. The area where the accident reportedly occurred is a remote region near the Arizona-California border, favored by the Corps for training because of its similarities in terrain and conditions to mountainous areas of Afghanistan. The U.S. Air Force reports four Air Force special operators were killed February 18th when their single-engine U-28A turboprop crashed in Djibouti on the Horn of Africa. Pentagon Press Secretary George Little said the airmen were conducting a surveillance and reconnaissance mission. The accident happened at Djibouti Ambouli International Airport in Djibouti City. Camp Lemonnier, located nearby, is the main base of operations for U.S. Africa Command in the Horn of Africa. Little said, quote, "This is obviously a tragic incident," and added, quote, "There is absolutely no indication of any kind of enemy involvement in the downing of the plane," unquote. Little said the Air Force mission was in support of Operation Enduring Freedom, which includes operations in Afghanistan, the Philippines, the Horn of Africa, and elsewhere. He adds a dignified transfer ceremony took place at the Dover Air Force Base Military Mortuary in Delaware early Wednesday, quote, "for our returning fallen heroes who were involved in this crash," unquote. The U-28A is a military variant of the Pilatus PC-12. A safety board investigation has begun. Matev Slynarchyk, who is flying around the world in a modified Pipistrel Virus SW914 Turbo, has just completed the longest flight on his journey, 2,300 miles over the Pacific Ocean from Concepcion, Chile to Easter Island. This was one of the two most challenging and dangerous legs of the around-the-world flight, with the longest stretch over water without the possibility of an emergency landing. Strong headwinds over the ocean made the flight even more challenging and pushed both plane and pilot to their limits. The flight took a little over 15 hours at an average speed of about 152 miles per hour. The Virus used just over 80 of the 90 gallons on board, which calculates to a consumption rate of under 4 gallons U.S. per 100 miles. Easter Island is so remote that the next leg of Matev's journey takes him over water again, this time 1,400 nautical miles to Totagaji in French Polynesia, then onwards towards New Zealand via Tahiti and Cook Island. When you're trying to integrate workforces in an airline merger, it helps to have Southwest Airlines' generally cordial relationship with workers and unions, but that doesn't mean things always work out on the first try. On Tuesday, members of the Aircraft Mechanics Fraternal Association Local 11, representing mechanics at Southwest, rejected the seniority integration agreement proposed by the airline as part of its merger with AirTran. The next step is a joint filing for arbitration by AMFA and the Teamsters. Southwest says it hopes the two parties come to a resolution before arbitration begins, and it remains open to working with both unions. Southwest and AirTran pilots, flight instructors, and flight attendants have already successfully completed the seniority integration negotiation process. Yet to be done are aircraft mechanics, ramp, operations and provisioning agents, customer service agents, and customer support and service employees, dispatchers, and material specialists. Still ahead, 50 kids in South Carolina get a huge opportunity. There's a new VFR squawk code for gliders. And here's a twist on those drunk airline pilot stories. You're listening to Arrow News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for the weekend of Friday, February 24th. I'm Paul Plack. Israel's transportation ministry has ordered two domestic airlines to stop using their ATR turboprops within 2 years, but the order has nothing to do with airworthiness. Instead, the government warns Arkia and Israel that the planes, quote, cannot be fitted with anti-missile systems, unquote, according to a newspaper report. Reuters reports Israel has accelerated the installation of anti-missile defenses due to as many as 20,000 manpads, those are shoulder-fired anti-aircraft rockets, looted from Libya and now thought to be in the hands of militants. Five of the turboprops are currently in use by the two airlines, primarily for short hops between Tel Aviv and Eilat, a resort city in the south. Arkia and Israel, along with state-run El Al Airlines, are equipping their Boeing and Airbus jets with a version of an anti-missile system originally designed for helicopters. It uses a laser to overload the sensors on heat-seeking missiles and divert them from the targeted aircraft. Most of the fleet will reportedly be fitted with a system domestically manufactured by the Elop subsidiary of Elbit Systems and called Sea Music by the end of next year. The Celebrate Freedom Foundation, in conjunction with the South Carolina Aeronautics Commission and South Carolina Aviation Association, has opened the 2012 SOAR Aviation Aerospace Summer Camp for student applications. The camp will be held July 15th through the 20th at the University of South Carolina. It's open to current high school sophomore and juniors from all school districts in South Carolina. The SOAR Summer Camp is the state's first aviation and aerospace summer camp. The concepts covered will include physics, complex mathematics, basic engineering and design, problem-solving skills, and leadership. Listen to the list of activities for the week-long camp. They'll include a basic ground phase flight instruction class, a Cessna 172 cross-country flight, a history of aviation course, a physics of flight course, a Project SOAR Leadership Academy course, a trip to the Challenger Learning Center, a Fun with Rockets activity, a tour of the USC Engineering School, basic aircraft maintenance skills course at the State Aeronautics Commission, from airfoils to airframes wind tunnel activity, and a career night with guest speakers. The Celebrate Freedom Foundation is looking for highly motivated students seeking to advance their knowledge of the aviation and aerospace fields. The foundation says the campus is designed for 50 students, and the camp is provided at no cost to the students. This opportunity will not only expose the students to once-in-a-lifetime educational experiences, but also place them with employers and employees of the top aeronautics companies in South Carolina. Student applications are due by March 30th. Many aircraft radar transponders have a button which immediately sets the squawk code to 1200, the standard code for VFR traffic not in communication with air traffic control. But the FAA believes it's important for other traffic to know whether your blip is a powered aircraft or not. So the code 1202 has now been designated the standard for gliders, effective March 7th. The unique code joins others designated for special purposes. 1255 indicates an aircraft en route to or from a designated firefighting area. 1277 indicates an aircraft on a search and rescue mission under authorization from the U.S. Coast Guard or U.S. Air Force. One impetus for the new designation is an NTSB recommendation following the 2006 collision between a Hawker jet and a glider near the Reno Tahoe International Airport. Following 9 deaths in mid-air collisions between gliders and powered aircraft over a 20-year period, the NTSB chastised the FAA in 2008 for failing to make transponders compulsory in gliders. And finally today, drunk airline pilots have been making headlines the last couple of years. This case is a little different. A Pinnacle Airlines flight operating under a codeshare with Delta was canceled Monday, and the reason may have been that the sole flight attendant on the plane was intoxicated. The flight was scheduled to leave Grand Forks for Minneapolis on Sunday, but was abruptly canceled. The Twin Cities Pioneer Press reports that Pinnacle has taken the flight attendant, who was not identified, off the job. The FAA is also participating in the investigation. The pilot and co-pilot have not been implicated. Pinnacle spokesman Joe Williams said the 30 passengers booked on the flight were accommodated on later flights. Pinnacle policy requires that no member of a flight crew consume alcohol within 12 hours of a flight. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.